We had been talking about Fear Not. This is part four, but we have a subtitle for this one. It's part four, The Final Authority. Everyone say The Final Authority. Folks, one of the things that I've come to find out is that as the church, we can talk a good game. We can. But when the pressure comes, we start to chip like a pair of bad brake pads. We start trembling, and eventually we stop. And we blame the devil. I realize something. It's not the devil's fault that we get afraid. It's not the devil's fault if you have fear in your life. It is not the devil's fault. It's impossible for it to be his fault because Jesus gave us physical and mental strength and ability over all the power he has. So how can he put anything on us? How can he make us do this? Something else that's going on, and we need to understand it. Look at James 1, please. And this is in the Weymouth translation. I think most of this is the Weymouth and the Passion. It reads, "Do not be deceived, my dearly loved brethren. Every gift..." How many of them?
Everyone.
"Which is good, and every perfect boon is from above." How many of you know what a boon is? I didn't know either, so I looked it up. It's something to be thankful for. It's a blessing or a benefit. So every gift which is good, every perfect boon is from above and comes down from the Father, who is the source of all light. In him there is no variation nor the slightest suggestion of change. No variation or the slightest suggestion of change. So that means every good gift and everything that we have to be thankful for comes from heaven. And there isn't even a chance that the gift won't project light. There's not even a chance of it. But it lets us know another thing. Every gift that's presented to us is not necessarily good. And we need to learn the difference. Because if you know it's not good and perfect, if you know it's not a benefit or a blessing, why would you accept it? I was thinking about that last night, and I kept thinking, why in the world? But I said, we're not in the world. So why in the kingdom would we want to accept it? When we know it's not good and perfect. It didn't come from heaven. And if it didn't come from heaven, it didn't come from God. And if it didn't come from God, why are we accepting it? See, we're approaching this whole subject of fear from a totally different angle. You've read the scriptures when Jesus and God said, "Don't fear." Why not? There's things that look scary. Why shouldn't I be afraid? Well, the purpose of this series was to let you know why you shouldn't be afraid. So when something comes up, instead of it being scary, you're like, "Dude, I don't care what this dude is saying, the word says. That's what I want. I don't want to come up, oh yeah, well, Pastor said this thing can be scary, The word said, Jesus said, and you keep on going. So that's why we're going, coming from this angle. I'm not talking about the problem. We're talking about why it shouldn't be a problem. Say, fear shouldn't be a problem for me because I'm a believer. See, folks, we create more issues for ourselves because we'll accept something or embrace something that we see as real, but it didn't come from God. It didn't come from God. So it's a counterfeit. And because we do that, because we accept things that don't come from God, we struggle in our walk. And we say things like, how come I'm not prosperous? How come blessings don't seem to fall on me? Because you position yourself, well, I'll say it this way. If you're going on a trip and you have luggage. You don't have so much room in your car to put all your luggage. That's necessary. But you don't want to stop along the way to get food, so you put munchies and things. And you have 3-4 bags of munchies in your car. And then you get mad at the car because there's not enough room for your luggage. It's not enough room for what you need because you filled it up with other stuff. And that's what happens to us, and that's why we give way to fear, because we filled ourselves up with other stuff. And we didn't leave any room for the final authority. We didn't leave any room. Look at Psalm 119, please. See, one thing I'd like for us to understand that if it doesn't come from God, then it's dark. Because every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. It's dark. That's another reason why when you don't accept, or when you accept the spirit of fear, you can't seem to find your way out. And Psalm 119, verse 105 tells us why. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When you embrace the spirit of fear, you're embracing darkness. We don't see clearly in the dark. So we wind up on the wrong path. We wind up making a poor choice. We wind up running into a wall or off the road. Not because we wanted to. We were on the wrong path because we did not follow the light. The Passion Translation says, "Truth's shining light guides me in my choices and decisions. The revelation of your word makes my pathway clear." How many of you know revelation is light? That which is revealed, that which is uncovered, that which is no longer hidden. Without the benefit of God's gift, there's no light, no lamp, no illumination, no path. And the result of that is a feeling of helplessness and despair. It grieves me when I have to talk to people and they say things like, I don't have any hope. I feel God abandoned me. We're going to talk about that before we finish. James 1:17 in the Weymouth translation says, "Every gift which is good, every perfect bond is from above and comes down from the Father, who is the source of all light. In him there is no variation or the slightest change." No variation. So we understand that if we want to walk in the light, we have to accept the good gifts that come from God. Period. And if God didn't give it to us, why are we accepting it? Why are we even considering it when we know it's not a good and perfect gift? Okay, Lord. Folks, God said he knows that the gifts that come from Satan are not good and perfect, but they're often convenient. And he said, do not mistake convenience for direction. Just because it's easy doesn't mean it's right. If it's that easy, it probably is wrong. 2 Timothy 1, Amplified Classic. I'm going to read this in several translations. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing fear and fawning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. That means when you see something that presents itself as scary, you don't have to run away. Ah! Father, what is this thing? Trying to come at me like that. So dark I can barely see it, so I know it's not from you. What do you want me to do about this thing? How do I know you can do that? Well, the Weymouth translation says, for the spirit which God has given us is not a spirit of cowardice, but one of power and of love and of sound judgment. Sound fear makes you, causes you to make wrong decisions, impairs your judgment. The Murdoch translation, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of energy. So stop saying you're tired. And of love and of instruction. The spirit which God gives us instruction. How many of you like things that are easy to read? I do too, as long as it comes from the right source. The spirit of this is the easy to read version. The spirit God gave us does not make us afraid. The spirit that God gave us does not make us afraid. His spirit is a source of power and love and self-control. So when something scary comes up, and it's going to show up. It's going to show up. But the spirit God gave you is a source of power. So it can show up all at once, so it can't do anything to you if you understand who you are. I like the Passion Translation the best because it names the spirit which he gave us. For God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. See, God didn't walk down his line of spirits and say, okay, yeah, you need that one. Where's the love spirit? You go down. No, he sent the Holy Spirit. And think about some of the things Jesus said, that when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to guide us into all truth. He's going to testify of Jesus, so he's going to remind us of things that Jesus said. That's why I presented this the way I did. When fear shows up, the Holy Ghost is going to give you instruction. He's going to tell you, remember what Jesus said. And you're like, yeah, that's right. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And then you turn and start wailing on that thing. The Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power. Here's my question. since the spirit of fear is present, and God said it didn't come from him, why are we receiving it? The Holy Ghost already gave us the instruction. This isn't from the Father. We know it's not from the Father, but we play with it. Somewhere in around Ephesians 4 or 5, it says, have nothing to do with the evil empire of darkness, but let your life be such that it exposes them. That have nothing to do, even if you call it a hallelujah party, have nothing to do with the evil enterprises of darkness. So the evil enterprises of darkness sends the spirit of fear. We run up and embrace it. What do you think? If you're nice to it, it's not going to bother you? It didn't come from God. Are we to believe that God is wrong? So we embrace the spirit of fear because we believe that timidity and cowardice and craving and cringing and fawning fear is a good thing, that it's praiseworthy? How many of you feel good when you're afraid? So I just look for a good fear. No, it feels horrible. So why do we keep embracing it? Let me tell you why this is happening. There have been a lot of prophecies about what this church is destined to do and become. And then there's been a lot of prophecies supporting the original prophecies about this ministry. The world is waiting for the unveiling of the sons of God. Here's the problem, folks. Because of fear, the church is waiting for the unveiling, not realizing you the ones. We're the ones that everyone's waiting for. They're yearning. The Passion Translation says the entire universe is standing on tiptoe, looking, trying, straining, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. We have to realize we're the ones they're looking for. The devil knows that. But if he can keep you embracing fear, you'll never step out into the open. You'll always be in the background. God knows I don't like crowds. Oh, really? Let's see. The scripture says, go into all the world and find one person so you can preach the gospel to them. He said, preach the gospel to every. I was watching a Clint Eastwood movie. I'm not going to tell you which one, because Mr. Phillips said don't tell you. No, it wasn't Dirty Harry. And that's why she said that. Thank you for making her point. And I've seen a number of his movies a number of times. But this time, I heard something that I never heard before. To the point where I went and looked, I said, oh, if he said this, it's got to be quoted somewhere online. Because I didn't want to remember almost what, I wanted to know exactly what he said. Someone told his character, that he needed to be careful because he makes people afraid. He makes people afraid. Listen to his response. It's what people know about themselves inside that makes them afraid. That's what I said. I picked up the remote and went, pause, rewind, click. It's what people know about themselves inside that makes them afraid. I realize that fear comes from what you know about yourself inside. That's why Proverbs 4:23 tells us, above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. If you're not afraid of the bear, you're afraid you can't handle it. That's what you're afraid of. You're not afraid of the bear. You're afraid of what the bear may do to you because you don't think you can handle it. You think the bear is more powerful than you are. So you become afraid. The bear could be just foraging for food, not even thinking about you. But you see a bear, first thing that comes in, it's going to maul me. I can't outrun it. It's stronger than I am, the bear. Looks like it's about 800 pounds. I'm 160 pounds. What kind of chance do I have against a bear? I better get out of here. But the word says you have authority over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For starters. Just for starters. You're not afraid of devils. You're afraid they won't listen to you. And you can't handle them. You're not afraid of cancer. You're afraid in your heart that you might not be able to defeat it. You're afraid that maybe God's word doesn't apply to it. So where is that going to leave me? You're not afraid to give. You're just afraid you won't have enough left to live. Lord, I want to give. But I have a car note. I have insurance. I have rent, mortgage. I have food. I got dry cleaning. You know, I got to get my hair and my nails done. You know. You think there's not going to be enough that's left. It's what you know about yourself inside that makes you give in to fear. I would have been afraid. Well, let me say it this way. Early in my youth, I was afraid to go to the store because there were drug guys there and gang members and all of that stuff. Then I understood who Miss Ruby was. Those who don't know, that was my mommy. And she let her presence be felt along the boulevard. I knew I was Miss Ruby's son. And I knew that they knew who I was. I was no longer afraid. I switched it up. Now, they were afraid to mess with me because they knew they were going to have to deal with Miss Ruby. So it's what I knew about me. It's what I knew about who I was. And that's the same way it is with us as the church, as believers. We have to know who we are and whose we are. It doesn't matter what we face. Jesus didn't say, if you tackle a demon and you want my help, make sure it's 4'11", about 90 pounds, and then we can work with that. Pastor Ed was listening to something Reverend Annie Durant said at a woman's meeting here some time ago. You may remember it. I don't remember it because I don't go to women's meetings. She said, if you have a poor self-image, it's because you have a self-image. She said, if you have a poor self-image, it's because you have a self-image. I'm not going to leave you there. Look at Galatians 2, Amplified Classic. I've been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, the Messiah, lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by the faith in, by adherence to and reliance on and complete trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's our image. And there isn't anything poor associated with it. But if you go around, you have a poor self-image, you have a poor attitude, you have a poor this, you have poor that, you have that's the image that you see. That's not the image of who God said you are. So you're afraid of being lonely. If you don't like the way you look, do something about it. And I'm not talking about going out and having $1 million of surgery. Exercise. Change your diet. Drink water. Lots of water. But do something about it. But don't pattern your life based on your personal insecurity. Because doing that will cause you to live your life in fear. And be true to who you are and what you're going through. Because too many people are afraid that other believers may find out that you don't know as much as you profess to know. You're still going to operate based on what you believe about yourself. It's what people know about themselves inside that makes them afraid. In their heart, in his heart, Saul, King Saul. Saul, the king, when you mentioned his name, the other nations trembled. What are we going to do to keep him head? They were afraid of Saul. But out steps Goliath. And Saul's like, I never faced anybody this big. I don't have anybody in my army that can take this guy down. What are we going to do? For 40 days, this giant is stepping out, challenging you. What amazed me, for 40 days, they would prepare for battle. They'd get together and they clang their shields and they'd shout, yeah, we're going to kill us some Philistine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they look at a mountain and comes Goliath. Just give me one. Anyone you want, just send one. And you're going to become my slaves. And they ran off the battlefield. An entire nation of God's children. There was no one else in covenant with God. Running because they couldn't see themselves beating anything like Goliath. There are too many Goliaths in our lives, folks. David wasn't afraid of the lion. He wasn't afraid of the bear because of what he knew about himself in his heart. He believed he was in covenant with God. And that covenant had to cover him no matter what. And he's telling the king, and you would think the king would say, thank you, David. I needed to hear that. No, Saul said to David, you're not able to go and fight against this Philistine. You're only an adolescent, and he's been a warrior from his youth. David didn't say, ooh, thank you, Saul. I never thought of that. I could have gone out there and gotten myself killed. No, David said to Saul, your servant kept his father's sheep. And when there came a lion or again a bear and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, smote it, and delivered the lamb out of its mouth. And when it rose up, this is key, folks, when it rose up against me, I caught it by the beard, smote it, and killed it. If he just gave up the lamb and went on about his business, everything would have been fine. He could have continued living the bear and lion life. But he rose up against God's child. The enemy is still rising up against God's children, and we're acting more like Saul than David. He said, your servant killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine, this person who's not in covenant with you, this person who has no dominion over me whatsoever, is going to be like one of them. For he has defied the armies of the living God. Fear comes, it defies God. He'll even say things, where's your God now? Where's now? Somebody who's close to you went home, chose to go home to be with the Lord. You've been praying they would recover. The devil comes and say, well, where's your God now? You've been serving him all your life. And you start thinking, maybe God's not all that powerful. Or maybe you're thinking, that loved one was much more spiritual than me. I mean, that's the type of fear I believe that caused Peter to deny Christ. He was ready to die with Christ. He pulled out the sword, sliced off Malchus' ear. He was ready to go. But he thought that he'd never have to go because Jesus being the Christ, he thought Jesus would, and everybody would just. See, this is what we do sometimes, folks. We'll say we're willing to die, but we don't expect to ever have to. That's like, oh, Jesus. During the Gulf War, they had folks actually would put them on television. They were upset because they were being drafted. I mean, they were being sent over to the Gulf, to fight in the Gulf War. They said, I didn't join the army to fight. I joined the army to get the benefits. On national television. I received Christ because I want eternal life. I know I don't have to do all this devil casting stuff. David said, this is what was in him. That this is why he had no fear in him. Because it's about what's in your heart, folks. David said, the Lord who delivered me, he didn't take credit for it. He wanted to make things, as they say, perfectly clear. The Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said, well, go and the Lord be with you. Then he's probably sitting down figuring, how are we going to serve the Philistines? Because this boy is going to get killed. The spirit of fear is not the governing authority. The spirit of fear is not the final authority. Why are we giving it power it does not have? What Jesus says is the final authority, and what believers need to know inside themselves is that that's so. We need to know that inside ourselves, that Jesus is the final authority. And every choice we make is based on that truth. Then you don't care what you face. Brother Hagin, in one of his books or writings, he talks about a man. Well, first of all, he said God told him when he lays hands on someone, if the, you know, the fire goes from one, you know, it means it's a demon. Well, this came back demon. Okay. So he called the demon out and said to the man, see if you can bend over, and the man couldn't bend over. And he said, Jesus, I did what you said and it didn't work. And Jesus said, but I said it would. And when the same thing happened for two or three times, and then finally after the last time, I guess Jesus had enough. His fire rose up in his eye and he said, but I said it would. Then Brother Hagin cast the demon out and then didn't say to the man, try and bend over. He said, bend over. Okay. Why? Because Jesus said it would. And his word is the final authority. And we have to learn how to start operating in his word. In Luke 10, you know this is my favorite scripture in the Bible, at least for right now. But in the Passion Translation, verses 19 and 20 of Luke 10, now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom, meaning Satan. You will, say I will, trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. Absolutely nothing. So what are you afraid of? You have to get this on the inside of you. I already told you about Philippians 2. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. But they won't bow if you give up. That's why it says resist. Didn't say the devil's going to leave the first time you open your mouth. But what it did say is, it will leave. John 11. This is the story of the account of Lazarus. Jesus, you know, got word Lazarus was sick. And he still stayed some extra days. Folks are probably wondering. I like the message of the Bible. He said, you're about to be given new grounds for believing. But starting at I'll pick it up at verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was approaching the village, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, my Lord, if only you had come sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. She had already made up her mind in her heart that her brother was dead. But I know that if you were to ask God for anything, he would do it for you. What did she say? She said, but I... My question is, where did she know it? Jesus told her, your brother will rise and live. Now understand this. She just got finished saying, I know if you were to ask God for anything, he would do it. Jesus said, your brother will rise and live. She said, yes, I know he will rise with everyone else on Resurrection Day. I thought you just said you knew what Jesus said. Martha, Jesus said, you don't have to wait until then. I am the resurrection and I am life eternal. Anyone who clings to me in faith, even though he dies, will live forever. Yes. And the one who lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Martha replied, yes, Lord, I do. I've always believed that you are the anointed one, the Son of God, who has come unto the world for us. I know Jesus probably walked away. She didn't get it. She didn't get it. And Jesus went, just because I'm running out of time, Jesus went, you know, wanted to know where did you lay him? And he looked at Mary, and everybody was crying. And then Jesus started crying. In the morning, said, look how much he loved Lazarus. And others said, yeah, but he could open the blind eyes. He loved him so much. Why did he let him die? Yeah. Then Jesus, with intense emotions, came to the tomb, a cave, a stone placed over its entrance. Jesus told them, roll away the stone. Then I know, Miss I Know said, but Lord, it's been 4 days since he died. She's had it settled in her heart. Why? Because it looked like death, it acted like death, and then she knew it smelled like death. You've heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again. If it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, look again, it could be a duck decoy. Decoys are designed to look, act, sound, smell like the real thing. Then Martha said, but Lord, it's been 4 days since he died. By now, his body is already decomposing, and we don't want that stench through our village. Why did she say that? That's what was inside of her. She's afraid it was going to stink up the place because she believes her brother was dead. But in verse 40, it says Jesus looked at her, and he probably looked deep into her eyes and said, didn't I tell you that that if you will believe in me, you will see God unveil his power? So he said to her, didn't I tell you? Why is that so important, Jesus? I'm the final authority. Didn't I say I gave you all my authority to trample upon Satan and anything he possesses? Didn't I say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness? Didn't I say that? Didn't I say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? Didn't I say, I'm coming again soon? Why are we afraid when we have it from the final authority? He said, didn't I tell you that if you will believe in me, you will see God unveil his power? So they rolled away the heavy stone, and Jesus gazed into heaven and said, Father, thank you that you have heard my prayer. For you listen to every word I speak. That's what was in his heart. He believed, and he was sure that what he said went right to God's ear. Now, so that these who stand here with me will believe that you have sent me to the earth as your messenger, I will use the power you have given me. Then with a loud voice, Jesus shouted with authority, Lazarus, come out of the tomb. Then in front of everyone, Lazarus, who had died 4 days earlier, slowly hobbled out. He still had grave clothes tightly wrapped around his hands and feet and covering his face. Jesus said to them, unwrap him and let him loose. Death didn't have the final authority. Jesus did. Death doesn't have the final authority here. Jesus still does. So I thought I did. No, you're operating based on the authority he gave you. And we need to understand that. It's not me casting out devils. It's the name of Jesus that causes that devil to leave. Spoken from a believing heart. I know what I believe in my heart. That's what's going to come out when any situation comes up. And that's going to determine whether I operate, whether I grab hold of the spirit of fear or not. Because the spirit of fear is flying all over the place, trying to see, okay, who can I sit down on? Whose ear can I, who has a ready ear? There's no fear in here. I'm going to point to your heart. Say, no fear in here. Yeah, it's another t-shirt. No fear in here. 1 John. This is I asked you early on, I said, why do you think the devil wants people to feel, or I didn't say it, I meant to say it, why do you think devil wants people to feel unloved, abandoned, or deserted? 1 John 4:18, Amplified Classic, there's no fear in love. Dread does not exist. Doesn't exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. Every trace of terror. You get what we like to refer to as an evil report. He said, I'm going to die. You mean you have an opportunity to go home. Like, I get to go home. You guys got to stay here and deal with this stuff. I'm going home. Takes the terror out because you know what Jesus said. There's no fear in love. Love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror, for fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached full maturity of love and has not yet grown into love's complete perfection. The Weymouth translation says, love has in it no element of fear, but perfect love drives away fear because fear involves pain. And if a man gives way to fear, then there's something imperfect in his love. Something imperfect. If you can't forgive your brother or your sister, you're going to grab hold of the spirit of fear. Because your love is imperfect. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. It's what we know about ourselves inside that will make us afraid or will make us courageous. Scripture says those men that knew their God would be strong and do exploits. The people that know their God, not know in their head, know inside. They know their God. They'll be strong and they'll do exploits. It's what people know about themselves inside that makes them afraid. Mr. Eastwood probably didn't know he was writing a spiritual principle, or whoever wrote that script. But I'm going to share this with you, and then I'm going to quit because I'm already out of time. It's Ephesians 6. I've been sharing it in the Passion Translation. I want to share it out of the Ben Campbell Johnson. My brothers and sisters, I have written you a number of directives about living in the family of God. Here is my final word. Find the source of your strength in the Lord and his power, which is readily available. Like a soldier going out to a battle, put on the armor which God provided so that you may survive in the struggle with the adversary. So you may survive in the struggle with the adversary. Our real struggle is not with other persons, but with those with those invisible forces which shape life on earth. Because these forces have entrenched themselves in you as well as in others, you will need all the strength you can get to overthrow them. Listen to this. Get a clear understanding of the truth about God and the truth about yourself and wrap it like a girdle about your hips and thighs. Take the truth about yourself and wrap that in the truth of what God says about you and strap that on. Cover your chest with right relationships according to the truth you have received. Put on your feet shoes of peace and tread gently through troubled relations. Help every person to win, and struggling will cease. Your confidence in God is your shield, the most important piece of armor you have, and his unconditional love for you will keep you from self-doubt and despair. And I inserted fear. Wear the reality of your wholeness like a shining helmet on your head, and carry the word of God, the word God has spoken, like a sword in your hand, with his spirit in your head and heart. Cultivate a continuous attitude of prayer, both for yourself and for the God family. Folks, all those things help you locate you. Doing those things will get you right inside, because the Bible already tells us that from the heart flow the issues of life. Because the Bible says, what a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you thinketh in your heart, you become. One translation, with Jesus talking to the two blind men that walked into his house uninvited, and he said, well, what do you want? Do you believe that I can do this? They said, yes. He said, become what you believe. Become what you believe. When the spirit of the fear shows up, and he will show up, you will become what you believe. You'll either be scared or courageous based on what you believe in your heart. Has nothing to do with the size or intensity of that spirit, and everything to do with the size and intensity of your belief in who you are in Christ. I'm going to unhook there. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has given unto us spirit of power, spirit of love, and a sound mind. I think the other course is to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Because he's given unto me. Say, what I have in my heart is going to shape my life. And it's going to dictate how I respond to every situation. Father, we thank you for the word that you share with us this morning. We thank you, Lord, because you gave us the Holy Ghost, who does show us things to come. And he will tell us what this message means to each of us individually. He will bring things back to our remembrance so that when the spirit of fear shows up, we will remember who we are. And we won't care who he is. We'll remember who we are. And we will always see ourselves as children of the Most High God, endued with all the authority that Jesus has to trample over anything the enemy's got. Thank you, Lord, was like Brother Hagin said, tramp, 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 and that's the sound of the students going from Raymond through the world. Tramp, tramp, tramp is the sound of your believers stomping all over the devil because they understand who they are. And no one who hears this message in Jesus' name will ever give in, give way, give place to the spirit of fear in their life again in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want to give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Lord.